Tonight's shir, Eloi Nishmas, Shlomo Chaim and Mordechai, Hashem Shalav and Aliyah. This week's parasha, Vayechi, is always read in the midst of a very difficult time. Tonight is Asara B'Teves, although we don't fast yet until the morning. We hope still with Emuna and Betochen that it'll be turned around. It's still possible that Yehofech L'Sosein L'Simcha. And we find ourselves now actually smack in the middle of Ches Tes Yud Teves. These are the 3 days of Choshech, as the Poskim refer to them, like in Mitzrayim, V'Shloshe Simehu Afeila. The 8th of Teves, when the Torah was translated into Greek, into foreign languages, as the Gemara speaks about in Megillah. Today, the 9th, which according to many is the yahrzeit of Ezra, bringing about the end of the glorious era of prophecy, because he was the last Navi we ever had, Ezra is Malachi. And tonight, Asara B'Teves, when Yerushalayim was placed in siege by Nebuchadnezzar, as the Pasuk tells us in the Yecheskel, Perek Chav Dalet, Somach Melech Bovel El Yerushalayim. Melech Bovel finally reached Yerushalayim, surrounding it. This was the beginning, the Aschalta, the Paranusa of what culminates on Tisha B'Av. This is the beginning of the 4th Ha'aniyos, and according to the Avud Raham, this is a very strict fast. Even if it would fall out on Shabbos, we would have to fast, which is why it does not fall out on Shabbos, and it can't fall out on Shabbos. But it is the only fast that could fall out on a Friday. And during this time, we are learning Vayechi, we're learning Parshas Vayechi, the Parshas Stuma, the closed Parsha, as Rashi begins, Lama Parsha Zu Sesuma. Why is this a closed Parsha? And Rashi gives 2 reasons. One, because when Yaakov was Nifter, in this week's parasha, Yaakov passes away, causing the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people to be closed. As the Sfas Emes explains, this was not a Shibud Gufni, the Jews were not yet in bondage, they didn't have to work, they were free to roam around Mitzrayim, but this was the beginning of the spiritual Golus. Nistam Einehem V'Libam. It was the golus of the lev and the ayin. The golus of the guf happens later, as we read in next week's parasha. This is the beginning of the golus, and therefore the parasha is stuma. The other reason Rashi gives, which we'll get to shortly, because Yaakov wanted to reveal the ketz, and it was hidden from him. So at the same time that we are commemorating these 3 days that are all related to stima, the city of Yerushalayim is now enclosed. No one can get in or out. The beauty of Yerushalayim is concealed. The light of Yerushalayim is concealed from view, because Yerushalayim is now surrounded by the legions of Nebuchadnezzar. Ezra HaSofer, the last Navi, passes away, ending the period of Nevuah. Nevuah, which is revelation. When we had Nevuah, we knew what Hashem wanted from us. Now that was concealed. So at the same time, we're reading this Parsha Stuma. And in this Parsha, we learn how many times throughout the Parsha, Yaakov loses his Ruach HaKodesh. Nistalka mimenu Ruach HaKodesh, as he's about to bench Ephraim and Manasseh, as Rashi tells us. Later, Bikesh Yaakov Lagalis HaSakeitz Lebonav, Nistalka mimenu Ruach HaKodesh. We read in the parasha how Yaakov tells Yosef that the reason why Rachel is buried on the road, on the roadside, not in Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, so that when Klal Yisrael have to pass by on their way out of Eretz Yisrael, when they're going to be exiled by Nebuzaradon, they're going to pass by Kever Rachel, and Rachel comes out, U'boiche U'mvakeshes Aleihem Rachamim Shenem HaKoyel B'Rom HaNishma. The parasha is certainly very much connected to the time that we're in now, the beginning of the 4 Ta'aniyos, the stima that takes place in the month of Teves, which, as we mentioned last week, Teves, the month of Don is the lowest of the Shvatim. Teves is under the domain of Esav, as the Zohar says. Teves is the month in which the birth of Christianity takes place, the birth of Oisai Ha'ish. Oisai Ha'ish is Begematria Chodesh Teves. Chodesh Teves, which really, as we'll see, is the month in which the Gilui of Moshiach should begin. The Le'umah that took over, as we find the Klipa is always before the Peri. The Tumah always gets it first. And so at the time when Gilui HaMashiach is supposed to take place, Gilui, the Mashiach Sheker, is revealed. the Christians hijacked the concept of messianism. They took the idea of Mashiach. Mashiach is a Jewish concept. There are some people, unfortunately, today who think Mashiach belongs to the Christians. Anyone who talks about Mashiach today is deemed a Christian. Rahmanu litzlan. No, no. Mashiach is a Jewish concept. They stole it from us. They stole it from us in the month of Teves. This is the Tekufa, Nittel. Some say, in fact, that Isa Hirsch was born today on Tes Teves. Because in the Poskim it says we don't know what happened on Tes Teves. And others say we do know, but because of the censors, they were afraid, so they kept it out. They didn't want anyone to know that really what was being observed, what was being commemorated, was his birth. One of the reasons that we fast on Asara B'Tevis as well. But although in the Slichas it's not mentioned, in the Slichas we're going to mention tomorrow, if we'll be saying the Slichas, that Tes Teves is the day of Ezra's passing. As a result of the birth of Isai HaIsh, of the holiday that occurs at this time in the month of Teves, the Satan's power has been increased. The Satan's power is now much stronger, and Golus Edom is intensified. Golus Edom is the Golus of the Christians. Golus Yishmael is the Muslim Golus, which we're in that Golus as well. We're in this Golus that's intertwined, Edom and Yishmael. And as a result, we have to come on to Kras Satan. We know what we say in the Psukim when we blow the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We say six Psukim, beginning with the Rosh Tevois, Kuf Resh Ayin Sin Tes Nun, Kras Satan, standing for the second stanza in the Ana B'Koyach, which is the Shem Mem Beis. Kabel Rinas Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Noira. There are many who say this phrase every day in Olakayin Tzor and Shemayna Esrei. It's known to say this phrase when a person finds himself in a difficult situation. He should say Kufresh Ayin Sin Tes Nun. Kufresh Ayin Sin Tes Nun is also Begematria Chodesh Teves, which is Begematria Oisai HaIsh. As a result of the Tumah of Oisai HaIsh beginning in this month, we have to come on to Kras Satan.
Just that pasuk or the all of Anu B'Koyach?
Many say in the Elokein Tzor, the minhag is to say just that. Stanza. It's not a pasuk. It's a stanza. It's a phrase. Kufresh Krasata. Finally, we say it by the Kiyas Shofar as well. Other times. Other times.
They have it in
many have it. Yeah, sure. There are many questions that arise in this week's parasha in the limited time that we have. And the famous question that everyone asks, as Rashi brings at the beginning of the parasha, and then again in the middle, Bikesh Yaakov Legalos Es HaKeitz Lebonav. Yaakov wants to reveal the end. And at the beginning, Rashi says, Nistam Imenu, it was hidden from him. In the middle of the parasha, in tomorrow's portion of Chumash, the portion of Chumash of Revi, of Wednesday, the portion of Chumash of Asara B'Teves, where Yaakov says, gather, and I'm going to tell you everything that's going to transpire, the acharis hayonim, at the end of days. This is the first time the Torah ever uses the word acharis. This is the acharis of Sefer Bereishis. Vayechi is the last parsha of Sefer Bereishis, known as Sefer Yetzira, symbolizing the last generation, the acharis hayonim. And that's why this parsha speaks to us about what's going to happen, the acharis hayonim, which is also a time which is a parsha stuma. We are living now in a concealed and closed time. This generation is the generation of a parsha stuma, acharis hayamim. Just as the first sedra of this series is Bereishis, because it's the Bereishis of time, this parsha is the acharis of time. Therefore, Yaakov is telling his children, gather and I will tell you what will transpire, be'acharis hayamim. And here Rashi says again, Bikesh Yaakov legalos es haketz lebonav, but here he changes what he said before. Before he said, nistam mimenu, it was concealed from him. Here he says more than that. The Shechina left him. And he started to say other words. The obvious question here is, what's the purpose of being Megala the Kates? Why would Yaakov want to reveal the end? Which literally means, when Mashiach is going to come, the Kates Hayamin. Meaning Yaakov knew it according to this. He wanted to reveal it, or he hoped that he would be told what the Kates, when the Kates will be, but he wasn't able to say it. At least that's how we understand this Chazal. For what purpose? We're still in Golus right now. Would Yaakov have been would Yaakov be doing anything positive by telling his children that Mashiach is not coming for another 3,000 years? What would they gain by knowing that? And then there's the obvious question, based on what we have in the Daf Yomi this week, those who are finishing Ksubas this Shabbos, in the last three blot of Ksubas, we learned the famous Chazal, which meant we mentioned the previous weeks, of the Gimel Shavuos, the three Shavuos. One of them is that we're not allowed to reveal the end. Also, the Galois as Haketz. A person, even if he knows, is not allowed to reveal when the end will be. So how could Yaakov Avinu want to be Megala the Ketz? We're in Golus now. Golus Mitzrayim has just begun. And in Golus, there's a prohibition against revealing the end. What's the purpose? Why would he want to do it? And it's usher to do it. And why does Rashi at the beginning of the parasha use the phrase Nistam, and here he says Nistalka Mimenu Shechina? Was this the same Gilui Ketz? Is this the Gilui Ketz that Rashi tells us at the beginning of the parasha, why the parasha is a Stuma? Because Bikesh Yaakov Legavos HaKetz, the Nistam Mimenu? So why does Rashi change and tell us here a different phrase, Nistalka Mimenu Shechina? Nistam Mimenu doesn't mean Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. Nistam Mimenu just means it was hidden from him. The Shechina is still with him. But he wasn't able to be Megal of the Kates. The second Chazal, the one that Rashi brings here, in, by Revi, which takes place as Yaakov is leaving this world, is Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. It wasn't just hidden from him. The Shechina leaves him. Why should the Shechina leave him? What does Yaakov do wrong here that the Shechina should leave him? In the brachos that Yaakov gives his children, he blesses all the Shvatim, even though some it seems he did not. At the end we read, V'zois, and Rashi says that every Shevet received the bracha, even those that the Pasuk doesn't say straight out that they received the bracha. They did. Because all the Shvatim are included. And even though Yaakov gave the power of the lion to Yehuda, and he compares Yisachar to the donkey and Binyamin to the wolf, Rashi explains that all the Shvatim are intertwined and they all had the advance, they will have the milos that every other shevet had. But one shevet sticks out here more than all the other shvatim, and that's shevet Dan. Besides that, Yaakov is comparing Dan to a snake. Yehi Dan nachash alei derech. Normally, a snake is associated with evil. A lion is a king. Even a wolf, we can find perhaps some positive attributes to say about, but a snake? When one wants to say that someone is a snake, there's nothing positive to say about that. Yehi don nachash alei derech, and this is a bracha. This nachash bites the heels of the horse, hanoshech ikvei sus v'yipol reich ve'ocher. So yes, Chazal, Rashi tells us, it's referring to Shimshon, who had to camouflage himself among the plishtim like a snake, slithers on the ground and camouflages itself, and that's how it's able to attack its prey. The Arizal says that this is the Nachash de Kedusha. There is a Nachash in Kedusha. The Nachash in Kedusha bites the horse. The horse symbolizes the pleasures of this world. Asher zirmas susim zirmasam, the Pasuk says. The Nachash has no pleasure. We know that the curse of the Nachash was v'ofer toichal kol yimei chayecha. It'll only eat, whatever it eats will taste like offer. That's the punishment to the Nachash for seducing Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And the Arizal says, the Nachash, the Kedusha, has no pleasure from this world. Nachash, he says, is Begematria Mashiach. Mashiach is going to rectify the chait of the Nachash. And here's where Yaakov thinks he sees Mashiach. He thinks that Shimshon is Mashiach. But when Shimshon is killed by his enemies, even though he collapses himself, he brings the pillars together and crushes the pillars of the palace that he was being held captive, he dies with his enemies, so he's not Mashiach. So Yaakov cries out, Yishuascha kivisi Hashem. It's to your salvation that I hope for. Yishuascha kivisi Hashem. I thought Shimshon was going to bring us to Yeshua, even he's not going to bring us to Yeshua. Tagim Yainasin says, Yishuascha is the Yeshua of Mashiach ben David. As we say every day in davening, Estemach David avdecha meheru satzmiach v'karnoi torim bishuascha, ki lishuascha kivisi kalayim, kivinu kalayim, which is based on the pasuk in this week's parasha. Many say this pasuk every night in Kriya Shema Sha'al Hamita. Many say this when they say Tfilas HaDerech. Many say this Mitzvah Shabbos. It's a pasuk that is said many, many times throughout the week, throughout the year, throughout the day. It's like a school to say this pasuk. This is the pasuk that talks about the kevisi, the tzipisal Yeshua, that every Jew has to strive for, because that's one of the questions that is asked after 120. Did you look forward to the ultimate Yeshua? And it's interesting that it's during this time of the year, again, the religion that hijacked the concept of Mashiach, they also hijacked the word Yeshua, because they took the word Yeshua and connected it to who they call their Savior, Rahman al-Islam, that the hapach of the real Mashiach in Shal Yisrael, which Rashi tells us in next week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Savior of the Jewish people, the Goyel Rishon, who Goyel Acharon. Here, Yaakov Avinu cries out, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. In fact, the only Shevet where Hashem's name occurs throughout the brachas is only in Dan. Doesn't say Hashem's name once. Yudkei Vavkei is not mentioned once in the brachas of Yaakov, except in the bracha of Dan. And concerning what? Concerning looking forward to the coming of Mashiach. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Why is it here? In fact, as the Kashmir Samagad writes in Avodas Yisrael, it doesn't say Hashem's name, not in Vayigash and not in Miketz. And the first time that it says Yudkei Vavkei, Elokim it says, but not Yudkei Vavkei. The first time it says Yudkei Vavkei, after not saying it in Miketz and Vayigash, is here in Vayechi. I happen to look through all the other parashas in Chumash. Every parash in Chumash has Hashem's name in it, Yudkei Vavkei, except Miketz and Vayigash. And the first time it's mentioned, after not saying it in Miketz and Vayigash, is right here in Parshas Vayechi. In the Bracha of Dan, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. The Kashmir Samagad writes that in Miketz and Vayigash, Klal Yisrael are in Golus, Hashem is concealed. So why over here is Hashem's name revealed again? And perhaps we can understand the idea of Gilui Ketz over here a little differently. One interpretation that we mentioned, I believe, 2 years ago, was that Yaakov didn't want to say when Mashiach is going to come in the year 2007, Tovshin Samaches. Yaakov wanted to be Megal of the Ketz right there and then. He wanted to bring Mashiach right now. We're going to be Megal of the Ketz now. Yaakov would be Mashiach. Yaakov was the Neshama of Mashiach. But Hashem didn't want it at that time. Bikesh Yaakov Legalis HaKeitz. He wanted to be Megal of the Keitz. He was hoping that he could bring the end right there and then. He said, hey, us, we gather together. Let's have Achdus. Through Achdus, we could bring Mashiach. No, it wasn't the time for it. In fact, we know that there were many times that we were told by great people that Mashiach was supposed to come. There were years that were known to be Pekidois, Kitzin. But instead of Mashiach coming that year, the opposite would occur. It's a known Tovshin Aleph, 1940, 1941 was a known Ketz. That's when the Holocaust occurred. There were other famous kids, and the Zohar mentions Tovches, Tovtes, that was when the Gezeres of Tachvetat took place. Throughout history, if one looks at the Pekidos, there were pogroms that took place in Europe in Tovresh Samach Vav in 1906. They said that was a very big year. Other years. Here too, Yaakov wants to be Megalad HaKeitz, instead Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. The opposite occurs. Gilui HaKeitz is the revelation of the Shechina, instead the Shechina leaves him, because if it's not going to be the Keitz, it's going to be the opposite. It could have been. But perhaps we can give a different interpretation. Because we know what a tzaddik wants, a tzaddik really gets. Bikesh Yaakov Legalis as HaKeitz. Can it be that Yaakov wants to do something and he fails to do it? We read 2 weeks ago, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov wants to finally live in peace and tranquility. Kofatz Olav Rugzai Shel Yosef. Does that mean that Yaakov's request was not granted? The Svarim say no, his request was granted. Because the last 17 years of his life, Ayichi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shva Esrei Shana, this week's parasha, those were the best years that he ever had. He was reunited with Yosef. All the brothers are living together in peace and harmony now. These were his best years. So he did live B'Shalva. Perhaps he wanted to live B'Shalva in Eretz Yisrael. He lived B'Shalva in Mitzrayim. It wasn't exactly what he wanted, but Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva did occur. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Legalis HaKeitz also occurs. Yaakov wants that in a time of concealment, even in Golus, even during difficult times, even in a time of darkness, it should be possible to experience the Kates. Just as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, Chanukah is a time of Gilui HaKates. On Chanukah, we experience Yemais HaMashiach. There is a Gilui HaKates during the year. On Chanukah, for example, on Purim, if you really think about it, every Yom Tov, really, every Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. We ask for the Yom Shekulei Shabbos HaMenucha L'Chaya HaOlamim. But on Shabbos, we get a taste of it. On Yom Tov, we get a taste of it. When Mashiach will come, it'll always feel like Shabbos and Yom Tov. We'll be as happy as we are on Purim, and we'll experience the light of Chanukah every day, not only 8 days. Bikesh Yaakov Legalis Es HaKeitz, even in a time of Choshech. And perhaps there are two different times during the year that Yaakov is asking for this Gilui HaKeitz. One is Chanukah and one is Purim. Purim happened in a time when we still had prophecy. Mordechai was a Navi. Ezra was still alive. Ezra had not passed away yet. The second Beis HaMikdash wasn't built yet. It was a time when there was prophecy, but there was concealment. There was Hester upon him. And that perhaps is the first. Bikesh Yaakov Legalis Es HaKeitz V'Nistam Mimenu. In order for him to reveal the Keitz, first it had to be a time of concealment. Yaakov himself had to experience the concealment, because to Yaakov there was never concealment except during the 22 years when he was suffering, when he was mourning the loss of Yosef. But Yaakov lived the life of Mashiach all the time. To him, every day was Yemais HaMashiach. Every day he was Megala V'Keitz. So Bikesh Yaakov Legalis Es HaKeitz in a time when there's concealment, like in the time of Purim, the Nistam Imenu, and he himself experiences this concealment, and he's Megala V'Keitz. That there will be a time of concealment, but during that time, the case will be revealed. That was Purim. Bikesh Yaakov Legalis Es HaKeitz V'Nistalka Imenu Shechina. That's Chanukah. Chanukah is a time when there was no Nevuah anymore. During the time of Chanukah, Nevuah had already ended. There's a histalkus of the Shechina. And that's why in the brachas that Yaakov gives to his children, he hints them. He hints to them that there's going to be a Purim. He hints to them that there's going to be a Chanukah. The last words that he says to Binyamin, V'lo Erev Yechalek Shalom. So Rashi says, what is Yechalek Shalom referring to? It's referring to Purim. The spoils of Haman. Hinei beis Haman nasati le'Esther. V'lo Erev Yechalek Shalom. Rashi says, what's Erev? Erev is Asara B'teves. Erev is the Churban. Af mishatishka shimshan shal Yisrael, al yadei Nebuchadnezzar, sheyiglem lebavel. Even when the sun of the Jewish people will set through Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to exile Klal Yisrael to Babel, and this begins tonight, this begins tomorrow, that's Asara B'teves, is the Erev. Yet, Yechalek Shalom, that even in a time of Erev, there will be Yechalek Shalom, there will be a Purim. There will be a Chanukah. As we mentioned, Binyamin is also Chanukah. Binyamin is Chodesh Kislev. Binyamin is the one who, in his portion of land, the Beis HaMikdash is built, where the Nes of Chanukah occurs. But Yaakov is not only asking that there should be a Yom Tov like Purim and Chanukah, in which we should experience Gilui HaKeitz, even in the time of Stima, even in the time of Histalkus HaShechina, and Yaakov gets his wish. But Yaakov cries out, Bishuascha Kivisi Hashem, Dafka in the month, in Shevet Dan, corresponding to the month of Teves. Teves, the darkest month in many respects, the Lele Teves of Aruchim, Teves is affected by Chanukah. Chanukah permeates, penetrates, enters into the month of Teves. The Imre Noyam writes, one of the great Hasidic classical works, that in Teves, Makas Bechleiros was supposed to happen. Because Makas Dam happened in Nisan. Iyar was Tzfardeya, Sivan was Kinim, Tammuz was Arav, Av was Dever, Elul was Shchen, Tishrei was Borod, Cheshvan was Arba, then it comes out Kislev is Choshech. So Teves should be Makas Bechairis. Now we all know that Makas Bechairis doesn't occur until Nisan. Makas Bechairis is the night before we left Mitzrayim. No one argues about that. There are different opinions exactly when the other Makas occurred. But according to this opinion, for 3 months, the Jews in Mitzrayim were preparing for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there were no Makas. Teves, Shvat, and Adar. Says the Imre Noyam, Makas Bechairis was supposed to happen in Teves. If we actually look into this, we know that the first 12 days of Nisan correspond to the 12 months of the year. Every one of the Shvatim sacrificed during the first 12 days of Nisan, beginning with Nachshon and Aminadav on the first day, which corresponds to Chodesh Nisan, Nachshon from Yehuda, and Yehuda is Nisan. Who sacrificed on the 10th day? Bayoim ha'asiri nosi levnei Don Achiezer ben Amishadoi. On the 10th of Nisan, Don sacrificed. Don is Teves. What else happened on the 10th of Nisan? Lemake Mitzrayim b'vchayrehem. The Mitzrayim, there was a civil war between the b'chayre Mitzrayim and the Mitzrayim, which is one of the reasons why when the Jews were taking the sheep for the Korban Pesach, they weren't noticed because the Egyptians were so busy fighting themselves, they didn't see the Jews taking their idol and preparing it for slaughter. That was on the 10th of Nisan. It's one of the reasons we observe Shabbos HaGadol. Lamake Mitzrayim b'chayrehem happened on the 10th of Nisan, corresponding to the 10th month, which is Teves. Teves, such a difficult month. The Makas B'chayrus was in order to reveal who Hashem's firstborn is. And yet, and this is the month in which this religion that we mentioned before comes into being, the religion that claims that they are God's chosen, that they are the firstborn. Because whatever was supposed to happen, instead, just like when there was no case, when the Pekida doesn't occur, the opposite occurs. The fact that in Teves was supposed to be the beginning of the Geula, instead, the beginning of the Peronius occurs in Teves. Asara B'Teves is the Aschalta of the Peranusa. As we mentioned last week, Asara B'Teves is equal to the words Shesi Ve'erev. Yaakov, however, is being Megala the Kates in Teves. Yaakov is preparing us. Yaakov is trying to reveal, trying to bring out that even in Teves, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke, mentioned only here in the Bracha of Dun, corresponding to the month of Teves, that despite the choshech that exists in this month, despite that in this month we have to deal with the holiday that occurs in this month, the hijacking of the concept of Mashiach, here's where what's required of us is Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, to anticipate, to hope, and to look forward to the true Yeshua, which actually is supposed to begin now. The light of Chanukah is not supposed to end when Chanukah is over. The light of Chanukah is supposed to go all the way till Asara B'Teves and turn around the Asara B'Teves. As we mentioned, Mishatich L'Regel. Mishatishka HaChama Ad Shatich L'Regel Min Hashuk. Shatich L'Regel is B'Gematri Asara B'Teves. The Oir of Chanukah is supposed to remove the Choshech of Asara B'Teves and turn it around into a Yom Tov. Chanukah, as we mentioned, is rooted in the Or Kitoy Vayavdel. At the beginning of Chumash, we have the hidden light in the words Ki Toiv. Teves, the root of Teves is Toiv. The first time it ever says Toiv in the Torah is there, as Ha'or Ki Toiv. That's the Or HaGonas, which is really supposed to be revealed in Teves. It's interesting that Teves and Nisan, although they seem to be totally opposites, are compared. Don, Yaakov compares Don to a snake. However, Moshe Rabbeinu compares Don to a lion. Don, Gur Aryeh, Yizanek Min HaBoshan. And we know that Yehuda is the lion. Yehuda is Nisan. Nisan is the lion of the months, the king of the months. Yehuda is the king of all the Shvatim. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu compares Don to an Aryeh, teaching us that we can connect Teves to Nisan. Teves can become the king of all the months. Especially the Makas B'chayres, which was supposed to be in Teves, happens in Nisan, but when it was supposed to, where was it supposed to happen? It was supposed to happen in Teves. The mazel, the horoscope, the shape of stars of Shevet of Teves is a gedi, is a goat. Nisan is a tle, very similar. The Mishnah in Pesachim tells us that the Korban Pesach could either be a gedi or a tle, so they're the same really. Teves has a mazel of a kosher animal, a gedi, which can be used for the Korban Pesach, and Nisan is the mazel tle. The name of Hashem, the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Teves is derived from the words Lashem, E.T., Unerayim HaShemoy. The last letters is Yudkei Vavkei backwards. That's a pasuk in Mizmor Lamedalet of Tehillim referring to praising Hashem. Gadlu LaHashem, E.T., Unerayim HaShemoy. Praising Hashem. Yehuda, who corresponds to the month of Nisan, his name means to praise. Apam Oida Es Hashem. The whole idea of Mashiach is praising Hashem. The Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu would have been Mashiach, and Sancheirav would have been Goig u'Magoig. The reason why Chizkiyahu is disqualified from being Mashiach is because he did not say Shira. He didn't sing and praise and thank Hashem for the miracle that occurred when Sancheirav surrounded Yerushalayim with a million man army or Erev Pesach, and they were all killed miraculously. Hashem killed them all. And Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira. Therefore, he can't be Mashiach. David is Mashiach because David's whole being is Shira. A Shira v'azamra v'Hashem. Tehillim, the whole Tehillim is Tehillos v'sishbrach, is David Malka Mashiach and Ne'im Zmirois Yisrael. The Sfarim tell us that Teves is the acronym in Perek Chaf Aleph of Tehillim, Sekademenu Birchais Toiv. Now that Perek in Tehillim is Perek Chaf Aleph, is talking about Mashiach. The Perek begins, Hashem Ba'ozcha Yismach Melech, it's Melech Mashiach, the Oisius Melech Mashiach. Hashem Ba'ozcha Yismach Melech, Bishuoscha Mayogel Ma'oid, again, Yishuoscha. Right here, Yishuoscha Kivisi Hashem. And it's there where he uses the phrase Sekademenu Birchais Toiv, it's Rosh Teves Teves. And he ends off the Mizmah, Mizmah Chaf Aleph, Noshira Unezamra, we are going to sing to you. Mashiach is going to bring Shira V'Zimra to the world. We're going to constantly be singing and praising and thanking Hashem like the Malachim do in Shemayim. And therefore the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Teves, interestingly enough, is LaHashem Iti Unereimim HaShemoy, which is the idea of Shira V'Zimra, of Halel V'Hoidah, of praising Hashem, which we just finished on Chanukah, and we're supposed to extend it into this month of Teves. Shimshon began the Yeshua, v'hu yochel v'hoishia es Yisrael, the Pasuk says in Shoftim concerning Shimshon. He will begin the Yeshua process, v'hu yochel v'hoishia. Shimshon went down, v'yered Shimshon timnosa, the Pasuk says, like the Chanukah candles. Shimshon performed the Nes of Chanukah during his 20-year rule. He went into the world of the Plishtim, he even married Plishti women. And although when one learns the story of Shimshon, one might get the wrong idea who Shimshon was, especially based on the Mishnah and Saita, Shimshon Havachachar Einov, Lefikach Nakru Plishtim Es Einov. Rab Tzadik writes in his Sefer Yisrael Kedoshim, Yaakov Avinu would not have thought that Shimshon was Mashiach if he's the one that people, you know, that if we think Shimshon was that type of person. Shimshon was so holy, he says he was like the Nachash, had absolutely no pleasures from this world at all. Hanoishech Ikvesus, Nachash the Kedusha. The Reb Tzadik says that Shimshon was the neshama of Mashiach, and Shimshon began the Geula process. So the Geula does start through Dan. Shimshon, who comes from Dan, the lowest of the Shvatim, v'hu yochel ha'ishia es Yisrael, the Aschalt of the Geula begins through Dan, but Dan corresponds to Teves. Just like Teves now is the month in which we commemorate the Aschalt of the Puranusa, at the end we will see that in Teves is the Eschalt of the Geula, the beginning of the Geula, as it was in the time of Shimshon. He began the Yeshua, and Yaakov ends off the Baruch Yeshua Secha Kivisi Hashem, the ultimate Yeshua, should take place as well, and can take place as well, in such a time. One should not dismiss Teves as a month in which Yeshua's cannot occur. Well, this is just a dark month, this is a bad month, let's get it over with. Let's wait till Tu B'Shvat, until we start talking positive. Now everything is negative. Bikesh Yaakov L'Galis Es HaKeitz. Yaakov wants to reveal the Kates. The Kates can occur any time. And precisely in the darkest time, that's exactly the most opportune time for the Kates to be revealed. Our generation is the lowest and darkest generation, corresponding to Parshas Vayechi, the Parshas Stuma. And where is the Gilei HaKates? Dafka in Parshas Vayechi. Where is Mashiach mentioned for the first time in Chumash? Here in Parshas Vayechi. Ad ki yavoi shiloi, in the Bracha of Yehuda. Yehuda and Dan are compared in other places as well. When the Mishkan was built, Hashem orders Bezalel from Yehuda together with Aholiah from Dan to build the Beis HaMikdash. To build the Mishkan. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, it's Shlomo HaMelech, who's the Neshama of Bezalel, as the Zayar tells us, together with Chiram, who was from Dan and Naphtali, from the lowest to the Shvatim. So again, there's this union, this connection between Yehuda and Dan. The bracha to Dan here is Dan Yodin Amoy Ke'achad Shifta Yisrael, says Rashi. It's referring to Shimshon, who's being compared to David HaMelech. Clearly, it's right here. Ke'achad Shifta Yisrael Ke'miyuchad Shebeshvatim Hu David Shebom Yehuda. Shimshon and Dan are compared to each other. In fact, in the parsha of Vayered Yehuda Me'es Echov, in Parshas Vayeshev, where the revelation of Mashiach begins in the story of Yehuda and Tamar, the Pasuk says Yehuda is going to Timnas. Tamar finds out that V'hinei Chomich Oila Simnasa. Your father-in-law is ascending to the city of Timnas. Says, so Chazal asks, Ubeshimshain hu Oimer. Rashi brings in a Vayesha. Vayered Shimshain Timnasa. Where's Timnas? Is it on top or is it on bottom? Yehuda is going up to Timnas, Shimshon is going down, and the Gemara gives different answers. The Timnas is in the middle of the mountain, so Yehuda came to Timnas from the bottom, Shimshon came from the top. So it's not a contradiction. The fact that Shimshon is being mentioned here in the story of Yehuda and Tamar, and we know that Yehuda and Tamar are uniting for the purpose of bringing the Neshama of Mashiach into the world, so what's happening there in the parasha of Yehuda and Tamar is happening in the story of Shimshon. Shimshon enters into the world of the Plishtim, into the lowest part of the world, and even intermarries to save those neshamas later on that intermarry. I once heard this from Moshe Wolfson Shlita, who spoke amazingly about this idea that even those who married Goyim, one would think that there's no hope for them, they're out of the faith, and probably that's the way it is, but perhaps not. Shimshon has already been massacring those neshamas. Shimshon, by intermarrying with Delilah, with the Isha Zayna, with the Plishti women that we read about in Sefer Shoftim, gave a ticket even for those who intermarried. That's how low Shimshon was able to go, because his neshama was so high. Nizir elikim yihi hanam in abotem. Our generation is a generation of Teves. The whole generation, the whole year is Teves. We experience constant Choshech, constant Stima, constant Histalkus Hashchina. And in the Bracha of Dan, corresponding to Teves, that's where Yaakov says, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. Teves has the potential of being the month in which the Toiv, which is the Er HaGon, is going to be revealed. The Er HaGon is the true light. The light that we read about at the beginning of Bereishis that was hidden for the Tzadikim La'osid La'avoy. The light that we get a taste of on Chanukah and Lag Ba'omer. The word Toiv is the 33rd word of Chumash from the beginning of Bereishis. Lag Ba'omer, the 33rd day of the Omer, the day in which Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai revealed the secrets of the Torah, rooted in the Er HaGonis. Mashiach will reveal the secrets of the Torah that are rooted in the Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Ha'Yavdel. The fact that the Svarim tell us that Teves is Rosh Teves Akademenu Birchois Toiv, which is the Pasuk in Mizmor Chaf Aleph of Tehillim, referring to Mashiach, which what Mashiach is going to reveal is the Er HaGonis completely. That which was revealed till now is only a taste. The actual Er HaGonis will be revealed permanently in a revealed way, La'asid Lavoi. The Pasuk tells us, Gal Einai V'Yabita, Gal is 33, Gal Einai, one who is Shomer his Einayim, is zoichet to this revelation. That's why we begin now what's known as the days of Shoivavim Tat. In a leap year, it's Shoivavim Shmois Vo'er Abay B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim, and Tat is Truma Tetzava. Shoivavim Tat is Begamatria LaHashem Iti Unaraim HaShemoi. That's the name of Hashem for the month of Teves. Teves begins with a Tes, Shvat ends with a Tes. These are the only 2 months of the year where you have a Tes in their names. Tes, the Tes is Toiv, starting with the Toiv of Chanukah, because Teves begins with Chanukah. The goal is that the end should also be a Tes. During the months of Teves and Shvat, we have these weeks of Shoivavim, where we can be Mesakein, that which has to do with the eyes. The Arizal says that Teves and Shvat correspond to the eyes. Teves is the right eye, or the left eye. Shvat is the other eye, the Einayim. V'hoyu Einay v'libi sham kol hayamim. Vayichi is the parasha stuma in which nistumu einayhem shel Yisrael. The eyes of the Jews were closed. And the purpose of our of Golus is that we should be misaken the einayim. The more we're misaken the einayim, the more we are zoicha to see the Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Ha'Yavdel that's mentioned at the beginning of Chumash that will be revealed in the future. The future is now. In Sefer Yetzirah we read that the Bris HaLoshein is Mechuvan Keneged Bris HaMo'or, which means the more one is careful in his speech, in that way he can be careful in Shmiras HaBris. Bris HaLoshein is Keneged Bris HaMo'or. HaLoshein HaMo'or is Begamatria Es HaOr Ki Toiv VaYavdel. The Or Ki Toiv VaYavdel is revealed to those who are careful with their Loshein and with the Mo'or. Peh is the mouth. Peh is also Begamatria Mila. The amount of psukim in this week's parasha is Pei Hei, Pehei Psukim, and it says at the end, Pe'el Peh Simen. The Simen is Pe'el Peh. What kind of Simen is that to remember how many Psukim there are in the parasha? Pe'el Peh. One Peh corresponds to the other Peh. The Shmiras HaLoshayim corresponds to the Shmiras HaBris. These two go together. And in this parasha, we lost Yaakov Avinu, we lose Yosef HaTzadik. We are plunged into tremendous darkness. The Tkufa of the Avos is over. Just as now the Tkufa of Nevuah on Tes Teves ends with the death of Ezra. We are a Dor Yosayim, we are an orphaned generation. Just as in this parasha, Klal Yisrael was orphaned from Yaakov and from Yosef. And that's why it is such a concealed parasha. But on the other hand, in this parasha there's Gilui HaKeitz. It's the Acharis. Here's where Shiloh is. Here's where Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem is told to us. When it looks bad, and it is bad, all that is required is that there be a Kivisi. The Ramchal writes in one of his Sfarim, he has a Maimer, it's called the Maimer Kivisi, where he discusses this pasuk. Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, that the more one hopes, the more one puts his faith in Hashem, he creates a Kav. A Kav is a line, a direct line straight to Hashem. Kavei El Hashem comes from the word kav, tikva, hope. Yesh tikva la'achariseich, the last generation. That's what Rachel cries out. When Rachel cries out for her children, when she comes out of her grave, as Rashi brings at the beginning of the parasha, that's when Hashem answers her, yesh tikva la'achariseich, which tikva is from the word kivisi, from the word kav. We have to create a kav, a line, like a telephone line. A line between us and Hashem, and that line is created by the kivui, by the hope and the faith that we have that Hashem could bring about the Yeshua at any time. And there is no better time to bring about that Yeshua than right now, this evening, as we're about to embark on Asara B'Tavis, which could turn out to be the Asara B'Tavis, which is a Yom Tov. And in this parasha, Chanukah really comes to an end, because Yaakov, we know, is buried on Chanukah, as the Bnei Yisrael tells us. Yaakov dies on Sukkot. He is buried on Chanukah 70 days later, which means really, even though Chanukah ended last week, the purpose is to extend the Chanukah into the Asara B'Teves, extend the Chanukah into Parshas Vayechi. Last week we had the Goishna, we had the Neis Gadol HaYisham, the Dreidel, and this week we have the fact that Yaakov passes away on Sukkot and is buried on Chanukah. And now the Ma'aris HaMachpelah has closed. All those that have to be buried in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah are now buried in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. That which we began reading in Parshas Chayesara, when the Ma'aris HaMachpelah opens for the first time for Sarah and then for Avraham, is now closing when Yaakov is the final individual that has to be buried in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. The eighth of the eight people buried in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, which is Yaakov, comes to an end, and the Ma'aris HaMachpelah is now closed. And Parshas Vayechi ends. But Parshas Shemos is the beginning of the Sefer HaGeula. When the closing starts, you know the Geula is beginning. When it's so bad, when there's such Cheshach in the world, when one can't imagine that it's possible that there could be any hope, that's when one has to hope for Hashem. That's when one has to hope for the ultimate Yeshua, the Yeshuascha Kivisi Hashem. We should be Zoichatak, and the Asara B'Teva should turn into the Yom Tov that it is going to be. We shouldn't have to fast tomorrow. We shouldn't have to say Slichas tomorrow. We shouldn't have to say Tachanun tomorrow. We should be able to say Halil tomorrow. Lahoidos ulahalel, Bahashem iti in the Raimam Hashemai, we should be Zaychataka to the Yeshua HaMitis, to the Bittel of Golas Edom and Golas Yishmael, and all the Inyanim Bilti Ritzui, all the negative occurrences that occur during these days, and the true Mashiach should be revealed, and Yerushalayim.